Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, everybody. What a powerful testimony of God's faithfulness and also God's healing. I want to continue this morning with the Holy Spirit. We've started a series on the Holy Spirit, and we're on part 3 of the Holy Spirit. And I really want to encourage you, if you missed out, please, the sermons are for free on the internet. You can just download it and watch it to catch up. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, we see, only came on certain individuals, the kings and the prophets, maybe one or two individuals per generation, powerfully using them. But then the prophet Joel made this great and powerful prophecy. In Joel chapter 2, it said, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on my male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit." And it's such a powerful prophecy that one day God is going to pour out His spirit on all flesh. And young and old, male and female, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will not just be saved, but will be filled with the Spirit of God. And so with a great expectation, Israel was looking forward to this day that God will pour out His Spirit on all who believe. It's very interesting, in Acts 19, we see after Pentecost how this prophecy came to be a reality, and not just at Acts chapter 2, 2,000 years ago, but even today, we still stand in that fulfillment that God's Spirit is being poured out on young and old, male and female, on everyone who believes. And so it was the expectation and the reality of the early church to see the Holy Spirit come on young and old. And that's really what we are trusting the Spirit of God for, even in our church, that the Holy Spirit will come on young and old. And so we have started with a series just to encourage us to put out our faith that God will give us more of His Spirit and that we will live out His Spirit in a more practical way. We see in Acts 19 as an example of the expectation and the normality of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. It was an expectation that every person who believes may also receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We read here from verse 1, "And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. And he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?'" It was his first question he would ask believers when he met them. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And then he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said to them, "Into John's baptism." And then Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on him, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying." And so this is the norm of the early church. And so we looked at the first part of the Holy Spirit in our series about who is the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit that is part of the mystery of the Trinity. And then we looked at the various manifestations of the Holy Spirit at salvation, the internal work of the Holy Spirit, that when we get saved, He is the one that makes us a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the evidence of the internal work of the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit in us. The love, the joy, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control is the evidence of the in-working, regenerational work of the Holy Spirit in us. But then we also looked at the fact that there is the empowerment work of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is the gifts of the Spirit. And so this morning, we're going to teach a bit more on the gifts of the Spirit. But I really want to encourage you to listen to those sermons if you've missed them. But what we do see in the New Testament is the normal Christian birth. every believer in Christ responded to the gospel in a very particular way. It was an expectation, it was a culture, it was normal for the early Christians. And I want us just to look again at Acts. We've read it a number of times. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and the gospel was preached, empowered by the Holy Spirit, those who heard the gospel, who responded in faith, immediately acted in a particular way. Their response to the gospel was the following. Let's read here from verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone who calls our God, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." So it was so powerful to see that the early Christians had a normal response to the gospel. The normal response to the gospel in faith was repentance, baptism, and receiving the Holy Spirit. That was the norm. And we are trusting the Lord that this will also be the norm for us in our church. And not just in our church, but in all the churches. That the gospel will be preached and people will respond in faith, repenting, being baptized, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's God's desire for the church. And so just like water baptism was normal, the normal response to faith, so was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And for that to happen, you need to believe. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. To be saved, you need to have faith. You need to have faith in God, faith in His Word, and faith in Jesus. That leads to repentance. When you surrender your life to Him. And then you need faith and a surrender to God, a deliberate obedience to be baptized. That is the normal Christian birth. If you believe, be baptized. And then you need to surrender and have faith in the Holy Spirit. So that you can also be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So it was normative for the early church to repent, to be baptized, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We read here in Acts 1, Jesus promising that this gift of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. After his suffering, he presented himself, this is after his crucifixion, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was still eating with them, he gave them this command. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. And so we see this was the final instruction and promise that Jesus gave his apostles. That in faith, in me, you need to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so in faith in Jesus, in obedience to his command, they stayed in Jerusalem. Jesus did not tell them how long they were meant to wait. And so they came together, 120 of them, in the upper room, and they waited 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and nothing happened. 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, nothing happened. And eventually, after 10 days, at the day of Pentecost, we know what happened. The Holy Spirit came. So they responded in faith, and earnestly desiring to receive this gift, they waited until God responded. And here we read in Acts 2 from verse 1, And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a definite, defining moment in the lives of the believers. There were 120 believers in one place, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon them. It wasn't a gradual process. It was a definite, defining moment in their lives. Just like the regenerational work of the Holy Spirit through salvation is a definite, defining moment in the life of a believer. When you know that on this day I surrendered my life and accepted Jesus, so too is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And also, just like the regenerational work of the Holy Spirit has internal evidence, where we know that we're saved and we can experience the confidence of our salvation, so too the empowerment work of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, has evidence through the gifts of the Spirit that manifests. We could see that they started to speak in tongues and praising God. And we see even in all the other examples, whenever Paul prayed, when he asked those believers, "Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit?" He prayed for them and immediately they started to prophesy and speak in tongues. So the evidence of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is the gifts of the Spirit. The results of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is to be an effective witness. The ultimate aim of being empowered by the Holy Spirit is not to edify ourselves only, but to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the world, in our own community, beyond our community, and also to the ends of the world. And we as Christians must understand that the aim of the Holy Spirit is not just to edify ourselves, but ultimately to make us effective witnesses so that we can do the will and purpose of God, not in our own strength, but in His strength. That is part and parcel of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so even when Jesus spoke to His disciples, we commissioned to go into the world and make disciples of all people, He said, before you do anything, wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Because when He comes, He will empower you to be witnesses. You will not be standing in your own strength, but you will be standing in His strength. And we see that what happened when Peter stood up and he preached the gospel, an empowered witness, 3,000 people got saved and were baptized on a single day. So the New Testament, we can see that the result of baptism of the Holy Spirit was the gifts given and lived out. And we too want to grow as a church in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Not just in the fruit of the Spirit, but also in the gifts. So in this season, let us put out our faith for more of God. More of the Holy Spirit. Let us trust Him together to grow in His purpose for us. And we are so encouraged by how Paul writes to the Corinthians church. The Corinthian church was a charismatic church that expressed the gifts of the Spirit in a very flamboyant way, speaking in tongues, and as a matter of fact, the services was just speaking in tongues, that Paul actually had to bring order into that service and say, listen, it's great that you speak in tongues, but there's actually other gifts too. So let me just help you to bring order in your service, but also to desire the other gifts so that you can be more effective. Because if you just speak in tongues, you're not making a difference to those who are outside. So I want to encourage you to prophesy also, because that is an effective way of reaching the lost. But here in the Corinthian church, in chapter 12, he again speaks about the spiritual gifts. And if you want to read more about it, you can read the book. But I'm just going to read this one portion in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul writes concerning the spiritual gifts. Now he starts off by saying this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. And I think for many Christians, we are uninformed about the spiritual gifts. And because we're uninformed, we do not understand, and therefore we do not have faith in the gifts. And so Paul writes to the Corinthian church, and he says, listen, I don't want you to be uninformed about the reality of the spiritual gifts. And so he continues. He says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And that was part one. Remember, we spoke about the fact that if you come to salvation, it is the Holy Spirit that actually does the regenerational work in us, that we become a new creation in Christ Jesus and we are born again. And yet Paul says again, you cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. But now he continues to explain to us that apart from your salvation, there is also the empowerment of the Spirit through the gifts of the Spirit. And I don't want you to be uninformed about these things. He says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of services, but the same Lord, and there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers all in everyone. So again, what Paul is saying is, listen here, there are different gifts given to different people, but there is a gift for everyone. Every believer has access to the Holy Spirit. And after you've been empowered, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will receive a gift. But everybody is not going to get the same gift. But everybody is going to get a gift. Verse 7. To each is given, again, each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To the one is given the Spirit of utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healings by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. And to another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who appoints to each one individually as he wills. I hope it makes sense. Paul tries to explain to the church in Corinth not to be uninformed, but the reality of the Spirit of God that gives a gift to everyone. Different gifts, but everyone receives a gift. And so we read of these different gifts given to different people as God wills. So for us today, 2,000 years ago, God is saying the same thing. I've poured out my Spirit. You can be empowered and you will receive a gift. Whether you're young or old, male or female, it makes no difference. If you're my child, you can be empowered by my Spirit and you will receive a gift. Now, if you look, I've got a list there of the different gifts mentioned in this portion of Scripture. Now, if you go through the New Testament, you'll find some others as well. But here are some of the gifts that we receive from the Holy Spirit. The words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, works of miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpreting tongues. We don't have enough time today to speak through all those. But if you come to Encounter 5, that's where we discuss them all. So that's a little plug for Encounter 5. But Paul doesn't stop there. He continues to explain to us that not only do each and everyone get a gift and that they are different gifts, there is a purpose why God gives to each one as he pleases a different gift. And this is also very important for us to understand. Everyone gets a gift, but not all get the same gift. And the reason for that is God doesn't want us to become independent. He wants us to become interdependent. So God gives to all of us different gifts so that we become interdependent and not independent. Not one person will get all the gifts. We will deliberately get different gifts so that we can work together as a body. Church is not going to grow through one individual. Because one individual will never have all the gifts. God purposely made it so that He will give all of us different gifts so that we must work together to edify the body, to grow the body, and that His kingdom will come through us working together. He continues to write in verse 12. He says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so is it with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all made to drink into one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But it is God who arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as He chooses. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." So God's plan for the church is not all of us would be prophets. God's desire for the church is not that everybody should do signs of healing or signs of miracles. God's desire is that we will be different, with different gifts, that we are interdependent and not all become the same, that we may work together. Verse 21 continues, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' The prophet cannot say to the teacher, 'I don't need you.' The eye cannot say, 'I have no need of you,' nor the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seems to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which are more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." And what is so powerful that the Word of God says, even though as God gives us different gifts, even the gifts that may seem to us less important are indispensable. So God has given you a gift, and your gift is not less important than somebody else's gift. Nobody is greater than anybody. I am not greater than you. I just happen to be given the responsibility to lead and to shepherd, but I don't have a gift that is greater than your gift. Your gift is equally important to my gift. And we must never think that someone is greater than the other. That's not God's heart for the church. Now, verse 27. "You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret?" Rhetorical questions. The answer is no. "But earnestly desire the higher gifts." And so here Paul tries to help us to understand that not only has God given us all gifts, He's given us different gifts. And one gift is not more important than the other gift. All the gifts are necessary. And so we as a church, we mustn't just grow in one gift. We mustn't just grow in speaking in tongues or just grow in prophecy. We must actually grow in all the gifts, because God has purposefully made us in such a way that we should work together with the various gifts. So, to come to the unity of the faith and the understanding of God's will, we need to pursue the Holy Spirit in the fullness of what He has given us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every believer, just like water baptism is for every believer. Both is by faith, a surrender to God, and then, of course, the last verse, but earnestly desire the highest gifts. There's also a desire that is necessary for us to be able to function in the gift that God has for us. Just like salvation is available for all mankind, but only those who choose to put their faith in Jesus receive salvation. So too, the gift of the Spirit is available to all believers, but you have to believe it to receive it. You have to come with a desire and ask God for the Holy Spirit. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. That reminds me, of course, of Hebrews 11 verse 6 that says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But those who come to Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. So there is a desire from our part, a faith and a desire, a yielding to God to be able to receive the gift. So in conclusion, as a church and as individuals, we want to enter and encourage you for this season to put out your faith that we as a church will grow in the person and the purpose and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let's see God, ask God for more of the Holy Spirit in us. For not just the fruit in our character, but also the gifts of the Spirit to manifest through us. And ultimately, the purpose for it is so that God will be glorified. That the kingdom will come. God has called us and given us a commission. That commission is often so intimidating in our own strength. But that's why He's given us the Holy Spirit. To empower us and to help us to be effective witnesses for Him. So let us grow in that. Let us desire that. Let us ask God and pray. And not just for our church, but for all the churches in our country. That God will come and pour out His Spirit afresh and anew. That God will empower His children. That with great boldness, we may spread the gospel and live out the Spirit as He enables us to. I want to end over this. Luke 2 verses, Luke 11. We're going to pray in a moment and we're going to trust the Lord for more of the Holy Spirit. And for some of us here, I'm going to make a simple altar call. For those who want to come to faith in Christ Jesus, that's always the most important decision any of us can make, is to decide to embrace God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the most important decision we can make. The second one that I'm going to give today is for those, you know you're saved, but you're not sure if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're like one of those disciples that Paul met when he asked, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And you can honestly say, I don't know. And we want to give you an opportunity today to respond, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to ask that the Holy Spirit will come and empower you and give you a gift. And then there's some of you here today, you do believe, you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but you want a fresh anointing. You want to ask God to come and stir again the gift that He has given you. I'm reminded, I don't have the slide here, but of John and Peter. I mean, here are men that are powerfully encountered the baptism of the Holy Spirit and exercise the gift of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, the context here was John and Peter, they went to the temple and there was a paralyzed man, a lame man, who asked for money. We know the story. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk. And guess what happened? Peter filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and the gift of healing, the lame man was healed. And he walked up and rejoiced and worshipped God. And there was a massive response to that. People came to faith because of that miracle. Again, they became effective witnesses in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit through the gift of the Spirit that enabled them to be more effective in their witnessing. And many people believed. But there were so many people believed that the Pharisees, in fear, responded, arrested John and Peter, and commanded them not to preach the gospel ever again. And threatened them. And then what happened is, after a long story, you can go read it, they were released and they came back to the believers. And this is what they prayed. Here from, it's Acts 4 from verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word with boldness. And so they were filled again. In the same way they were filled at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came powerfully like a rushing wind, here they prayed again afterwards. They said, Lord, please come. We want a fresh anointing. We want you to come and empower us again. Grant us boldness. Grant that your Spirit may move through us and people may be healed and signs and wonders will be done. And the Holy Spirit responded again and the building shook where they was as he came. So these are the three things we're going to pray for this morning. We're going to trust for salvation. We're going to trust for baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to trust for a second infilling or a fresh anointing so that we can continue to live out God's purpose for us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together and pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your grace and your love towards us. Thank you, God, in our weakness and our sinfulness, you had mercy on us. You extended grace to us through your Son. Lord, you were willing to become sin for us, to take all our sin and our shame, our guilt, and you were punished so that we can be free. Lord, we thank you for this amazing salvation that you present to us. For whosoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for this grace in which we stand. Thank you, Lord, that we are saved through faith and not through works. We don't have to earn it because we can't. It is simply grace. Lord, we want to worship you for choosing us, for presenting the gospel to us, and giving us the opportunity to respond. Thank you through responding to you, Lord. You not just forgive us, but you redeem us. You make us new. You call us your children and yourself our Father. What a privilege to belong to you. And more than that, you pour your Spirit into us as a guarantee of our inheritance and that we belong to you. And with it, Lord, you give us purpose. While we're still on the earth, while we're still here, Lord, you give us purpose through the Great Commission to live for you and to allow you to live through us. You pour your Spirit in us to enable us to become more like Christ, but you also pour your Spirit in us to empower us to do your will. And Lord, so I ask this morning, together, Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, will you come and fill us afresh anew? Each one of us, Lord. We want to open our hearts to you and say, come, Holy Spirit. Come into us. Come fill us. Come baptize us. Come empower us, Lord. Do with us as you please to do. We want to be clay in your hands. Shape us, form us, Lord, into your purpose. Give us what you plan for us and help us to live it to the full. Not for man's glory, but for yours. And so this morning, God, we want to respond to you. And I want to give you an opportunity just where you are, just in your own words. Will you speak to the Lord? Whatever stood out for you this morning, if you believe something is for you this morning, just respond to him in your own words, just where you are, just for a moment. Just speak to the Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here, you are present. And you have a gift for each and every one of us. Lord, I want to start with the greatest gift, and that is salvation. Lord, thank you that you've come to give us life. You come to give us eternal life. You put before us life and death, and you say, choose life. Choose my son, that you may know that you are forgiven, that you may know that you have salvation, that you may know that you're accepted, that you may know that when you face me, you don't need to fear me because your sins has been paid for in full. It is finished. You are justified. You are cleansed. You belong to me. If you are here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, to accept this great gift, I want to give you an opportunity just to raise your hand and say, Lord, here I am. God, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior and know that I'm saved. If that is you, just quickly raise your hand. Is there anybody here who wants to give their life to Jesus for the first time? Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? You can just quickly raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. You can drop it again. Is there anyone else? Father, I thank you for those who are responding right now in faith. Lord, thank you for the faith they put in you. But Lord, your mercy and your grace and your faithfulness, that you see and you respond, because that's why you send your Son, to save sinners like us and to give us assurance of life, acceptance and eternal life. Lord, I pray for those who have responded, Lord, that Holy Spirit, that you will come into their hearts and that you will seal their salvation, that they may know they belong to you as they come to repentance and receive you as Lord and Savior. And then I want to ask, while all the eyes are closed, if you are here and you know you believe, but you don't know that you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, you don't know that you have a gift, you've never had a moment where the Holy Spirit empowered you, and you're like those disciples that Paul meant, and that you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you would just raise your hand and say, Lord, here I am, Lord. I believe, but I don't know if I've been empowered by the Spirit. And I want to, Lord. My desire is to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a moment now to respond. And I want to ask those, if you've raised your hand, whether it's for salvation or to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, I want to ask you, as the facilitators come out, I want to ask you to come to my left here. It'll be your right. If you can come to this time quickly, if you raised your hand, quickly come forward. We want to pray with you. We want to seal your salvation. We want to seal your baptism in the Spirit. So if you have a desire to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, please come forward to this side. And then for this side, if you're a believer and you know that you have been empowered by the Spirit, but you want a fresh anointing, you want like Peter and John that says, Lord, I pray that you'll give me boldness and that you will use me and work through me. If that is you, I want you to come to this side, and we're going to pray for you also. So if you want the Holy Spirit for the first time, come to that side. If you have the Holy Spirit, but you want a fresh anointing, you just say, Lord, I want you to give me boldness. I want you to move through me afresh and new, Lord. Help me to use my gift, to grow in my gift. I want you to come to this side. So quickly come forward. The facilitators, please come and help. Let's put the facilitators to that side. If you're still in the crowd and you know that you have a gift of the Spirit and you're full of the Holy Spirit, I want you to come and help pray for those who are here. So if we can have some people, we need some people to pray. So please come and help pray here. Let's pray. Let's make sure everybody has somebody that's praying for them. You can start praying. Let's just pray for a fresh anointing here. That God will come and move in us anew and afresh. We have enough facilitators now. Okay. All right. For the rest of us, let's just worship together. We're going to sing a last song. And when we finish, you can either remain or you're dismissed. But let's just worship together as we minister. And let's pray for these folk. Let's pray for these people that are responding for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and those who want a fresh anointing. We're going to give you some time to respond. We need some more facilitators, some lady facilitators. We need some lady facilitators here. Okay, let's just worship together. Let's just focus on the Lord as we honor the people. And let's pray for them. Let's pray that God will move in their hearts.